Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Greetings, I'm Andrew McDermott. Today I'm with paleoentomologist Dr. Gunter Beckley, a senior fellow with Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Beckley served as curator for amber and fossil insects in the Department of Paleontology at the State Museum of Natural History in Stuttgart, Germany. He earned his PhD in geosciences from Eberhard Karls University in Tübingen. Beckley specializes in the fossil history and systematics of insects, the most diverse group of animals, and especially dragonflies. Gunter, great to have you back on the show.
Hi, Andrew. Great to be back.
Well, today I'd like to talk with you a bit about some recent attempts to rewrite human evolution and about new evidence coming out of East Asia. In 2017 and early 2018, you wrote several essays at Evolution News and Science Today about many new discoveries in paleoanthropology that overturned the standard textbook wisdom on human origins. Did this trend continue?
Yeah, definitely it did. So as you said, it's 2017 or even the year before, and it continued till the recent moment, and there were numerous new paleoanthropological discoveries, so discoveries about fossil humans and human prehistory that were published and were celebrated in the popular press as rewriting the story of human origins. And most of these discoveries were made in Eastern Asia, especially India and China.
Huh. Well, can you give us some examples?
Oh, yeah. Let's start with a review article that was published by Bay et al. 2017 in Science. And they made a review on the state of paleoanthropology in Asia. And they were suggesting a much earlier migration of modern humans into East Asia than was proposed by the previous consensus. And then came two papers by Kate Douglas in 2018, one in New Scientist and the other in a Chinese paper, which also, the titles say everything. Asia, mysterious role, early origins of humanity, bizarre fossils from China are revealing our species, Asian origins, not African origin, Asian origin, and rewriting the story of human evolution, or another paper by Kate Douglas, how fossils found in Asia could rewrite history of human evolution and migration out of Africa. And these review articles, they, of course, review a lot of the other evidence that has been published. So there's another paper on which I didn't comment in my previous Evolution News essays or only briefly mentioned it, is this Dali skull, which was discovered in 78 in Shaanxi province in China and was redated and identified as an intermediate between Homo erectus and Homo sapiens. And therefore, it's in a way refutes this African origin of modern humans and this relatively recent migration out of Africa. And this was commented by Colin Barris, a New Scientist, as ancient skull from China may rewrite the origin of our species. And then there were other papers by Dambrikua Malase. They were already publishing in 2016. And what they described was very surprising and is still a little bit controversial, because they found cut marks in bones from buffaloes in the Himalayan foothills in India, and they were dated as 2.6 million year old. So that would imply that there were tool-using primates, humans, more than two and a half million years ago in India. And there were other findings that converge on the same hypothesis. One is by Han et al. In 2017. They redated fossils and also stone tools from the so-called Longupo Cave, which is a cave in central China. And they have been redated as 2.5 million years old. And finally, there's a paper from 2018. And they documented recently a human occupation of the Chinese Les Plateau near Changzhen. And it was dated as this human occupation, 2.1 till 1.3 million years ago by a relatively continuous sequence of stone tools. So another evidence for a very much longer occupation of humans in Asia than previously believed. And these findings are very remarkable because they do not only predate what we previously knew about the presence of the genus Homo outside of Africa. For example, by these findings in Georgia 1.85 million years ago in Manisi, but they even predate the oldest Homo fossils from Africa, at least most of the oldest Homo fossils from Africa. And this has implications. So either the genus Homo must have had an earlier origin and migration from Africa to Asia, or there must have been an independent prior migration by pre-hominines, Australopithecines, into Asia. Or some even suggested that maybe some non-human apes developed tool use, a stone tool technology, independently from humans, which, of course, sounds a little bit weird. And surprisingly, all these discoveries were celebrated by the international media as another rewriting of human history. So there was a paper, Inside Science by Choi, 2018, Stone Tools Unearthed in China, Rewrite Human Migration Timeline, or Greshko, 2018, Oldest Tools Outside Africa Found, Rewriting Human Story in National Geographic. So these rewritings, they come one after the other, and it gets a little bit ridiculous to write these headlines again and again.
Yeah, the popular press gets pretty excited when these things come along, and things tend to get overblown. But yes, as you'll mention for us, it's important to really be careful and cautious and just have that skepticism. So what is the significance of the human fossils from the Mislaya or Mislia cave in Israel?
Yeah, actually, I don't know the correct pronunciation myself, if it is Mislia or Mislaya. But anyway, so as I just said, the evidence for modern humans outside of Africa gets further pushed back in time with every new discovery from Asia. And in early 2018, there was a new study by Hershkovitz et al., and they described a jaw fragment which can be attributed to Homo sapiens, so to modern humans, from this Mislia cave in Israel. And it has been dated as 177,000 years old, and that's 50,000 years older than previous evidence for modern humans outside of Africa. And this actually fits quite well with stone tools that have been described before from the Middle East and have been dated as something like 175,000 years of age. They were a little bit controversial, but together now with this finding from Mislia cave, it seems like, well, there is substantial evidence for this early presence of Homo sapiens in the Near East. And this latter evidence for these stone tools, they were already published in 2015 by Grucott et al. But there's even more in 2018. Hu et al. Published in Nature a discovery, 170,000 years old Levallois stone tools. And they described these Levallois stone tools as a certain stone tool culture. And they described it from the Middle Pleistocene of Guangdong in southwest China. And again, Colin Barras, the anthropologist, writer, and New Scientist, commented in 2018, complex stone tools in China may rewrite our species' ancient history. Who would have thought? And another such rewriting came with Akhilesh et al., 2018, and they described modern, this so-called Levallois stone tools from India, and they have even been dated as up to 385,000 years ago. Hmm. So even modern humans and their stone tools are pushed back further in time in Asia with every new discovery.
So why are these findings important, these stone tool findings, and how do they change the way scientists view human prehistory?
Now, they are very important because, one, the evidence is very substantial. So it's not just one or two controversial stones. So, for example, in this Nature paper by Akhilesh et al., 2018, they described more than 7,000 stone tools from the Athirampakkam locality in India. And the dating is quite well established. And the identification as the stone tool culture. And this dating and this identification of the stone tools, this pushes back the arrival of Middle Paleolithic culture to Asia 50 to 250,000 years, depending on the evidence that you allow in comparison. So, of course, evolutionists are quite unhappy about these results and these inconvenient discoveries. And so they either dispute the identification of these stone tools and say, well, maybe it's not really Levallois culture, but only looks similar. Or they suggest that this culture might have been developed independently by archaic humans. But the problem with the latter hypothesis to try to explain away this conflicting evidence is that the Levallois culture's was previously mainly known from Africa and Europe. And it appears there 200,000 to 125,000 years ago. And it was generally, uncontroversially associated with either Neanderthals or with modern humans, with Homo sapiens. But it was never associated with Homo erectus. So now when they find stone tools that are too old to be attributed to Neanderthals or modern humans in Asia, they say, well, maybe it was made by archaic humans after all. But it's always a little bit suspicious if you try to fudge the facts to fit your theory.
Sure. Well, what is the status, in your opinion, of the out-of-Africa story that we find so often in the textbooks? Has it been blown out of the water with all these?
Right. I think that can be very clearly said. It's dead. It's a totally dead theory. And even one of the most popular paleoanthropology blogs on the internet, Dinikes anthropology blog, he commented in early 2008, Africa, a theory in crisis, titled the certain book by Michael Denton on Darwin's theory. And of course, this does not imply that Africa was not the cradle of mankind, but it implies that or says that the typical textbook wisdom or textbook scenario that modern humans developed relatively recently in Africa and spread relatively recently from Africa in one wave and then conquered the whole world, that this scenario is simply and demonstrably wrong. And this was even admitted in January 2019 in an article by one of the most famous paleoanthropologists, John Hawkes, at Medium.com in an article called Three Big Insights into Our African Origins. So sooner or later, this can no longer be denied that out of Africa is a dead theory.
Mm-hmm. Well, does this constant rewriting of the human origin story have any implications for intelligent design theory?
That's, of course, an interesting question, because many people would say, well, that's no problem for Darwinism. This rewriting is just a sign for progress of science. And in a way, of course, under usual circumstances, there's some truth to it. Of course, with the progress in science, the knowledge of today gets the error of tomorrow. But in this case, it's a little bit different, because if you look how the overturned textbook wisdom was sold in the past to the public as an undisputable knowledge that we have on the origin of humans, and that there is no doubt that there was this out of Africa event, and it was even correlated with this bottleneck in correlation with this volcanic eruption in Indonesia, the so-called Toba volcano. There was also recently, by the way, a paper that overturned this textbook wisdom, and there is apparently no evidence for a bottleneck in correlation with this volcano eruption about 60,000 years ago. So all these rewritings show that a lot of very weakly founded evidence was oversold to the public, and that this, as you said, healthy dose of skepticism is well advised, also to the current indubitable facts of human evolution. And what is also striking is if you look at the phylogenetic trees of fossil humans, and this article that I mentioned by John Hawkes, 2019, there is the most recent phylogenetic tree of fossil humans, and it has question marks all over the place, and nearly every single postulated node or branching point in this tree is a question mark. So nearly nothing of this tree is really certain knowledge. Most is conjecture and very weakly founded hypothesis based on weak evidence. And there was recently a very vivid debate also based on genetics between people from the ID camp like Engager and Richard Bucks, and on the other side, people from the theistic evolution side like Venema and Swamidas. And it has been demonstrated that even original pairs, a pair of humans, cannot be ruled out based on population genetics. So if we take all this evidence together from population genetic recent evidence and all this rewriting of the fossil record of humans, it's clear that the case of human origin is far from closed, and intelligent design and even special creation, relatively recent special creation of modern humans, are valid players, let's say, in this concert of proposed alternative explanations.
Well, Günther, that's about all the time we have for today, but I really appreciate you sharing this new insight and some of your expertise with us today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, to learn more about Dr. Beckley's work, visit his website, www.beckley.at. That's BECHLY.AT. To hear more interviews with Beckley and others in the intelligent design research community, hop on over to idthefuture.com or look it up on your favorite podcast app. For ID the Future, I'm Andrew McDermott. Thanks for listening.
In recent years, great leaps in DNA sequencing technologies have empowered scientists to study DNA as never before. But will Darwin's theory of evolution stand the test of this new data? This increasing evidence for design and purpose? You can find out when you read Michael Behe's revolutionary new book, Darwin Devolves, now available in bookstores and online at darwindevolves.com.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.